Matthew chapter 6, verse 5 to 15, and we particularly want to focus on verse 11.
When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins.
Beloved people in the Lord Jesus Christ, and during my time in ministry, I've experienced that people are quick to say or quick to pray that our Father's name in heaven, that His name would be revered, that His kingdom would increase here on earth, and that His will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. People generally don't mind praying those three initial requests in the Lord's Prayer. However, when it comes to the fourth request, people are a little more reluctant. For we are not only asking God to provide for us our daily needs and our daily bread, we are admitting that we are rather helpless. We need help for that. See, we are turning to our Father God in heaven and we are saying, help us, please provide for us, including our daily bread. We do so not simply because we wish to live and have a comfortable life, but as Christians saved by Christ, are forgiven in Christ, with the blessing of eternal life, we want to live lives to His glory. That's our ultimate goal. So the fourth request here, the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer, is not simply a request for God's wonderful provision, but also a question of trust that He will provide for us everything we need, ultimately for His glory, first and foremost. And that there is a desire within us to be obedient to His will. Now, I don't want you to make this request, or should I say, I don't want you to just spiritualize this request. Some people like to do that. They try to tell you that you don't have to worry about your shelter or your clothing or your food or what we shall eat, etc. For Matthew 6 that we read earlier speaks that God will provide all those things for us. Now, of course, that's true. But Jesus here specifically teaches His disciples and us to pray for our daily needs. There's nothing wrong with that. And when we pray for our daily bread, we are praying for ordinary bread and not spiritual bread. Our Father in heaven knows we need daily sustenance. After all, He's made us. He knows what we need. Just as He supplied manna to the people in the wilderness, so we pray that He will supply our daily bread, our daily sustenance. See, contrary to what so many believe, wheat and other ingredients required for the making of bread and other such things, vegetables, etc., don't just come out of thin air. They are produced with God's blessing. A child may think that milk comes from a plastic bottle, but we know better. And being an ex-farmer, I can tell you, it's very dependent on God's blessing of rain and sunshine, as crops of wheat are, and as a cow produces milk. Now, true followers of Christ don't want bread if it means disobedience to God's will. Notice that it follows the petition, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Christians recognize that true life, living in the knowledge of sins forgiven and eternal life in Christ, is more than just good health. It's more than a big house or a great car. Indeed, it is more than having just something to eat. People often, and Christians included, find it so easy to grumble about God's provision for them. And the reality is, brothers and sisters, let me speak plainly, just because you have great health and great wealth and great everything else, but if you don't have Jesus Christ as your Saviour and Lord, you have nothing. You don't really have anything. And if you do have Jesus as your Saviour and Lord, then perhaps if you're inclined to grumble, stop grumbling. You have the best gift of all. Give thanks. God doesn't ask us to thank Him for all circumstances, but He does say to give thanks in all circumstances. And that thankfulness begins by being obedient to God's word. Israel failed to learn this lesson, and for 40 years they wandered in the wilderness. They put food and drink before their trust in the Almighty God that delivered them. In contrast, the Lord Jesus went hungry for 40 days in the desert, refusing to eat the food of disobedience. He actually said in Matthew 4 verse 4, man does not live by bread alone. We know it. He said that to the tempter, and he remained obedient to the word of his Father until his death on the cross. If eating food comes before obedience, it's better to go hungry. It's better to go hungry. Loyalty to do our Father's will, just as our Saviour did, and listening to what comes out of His mouth, must have top priority in our lives. Now, perhaps you're thinking, well, that's rather hard, isn't it? Doesn't Judy know that food and drink are essential for living? The facts are plain. Unless you eat and drink, you will die. I know that. I think all of us realize that. And God knows it. Our loving Father in heaven knows it. 1,000 years ago, there was a monk, Bernard Clavoux, a most famous monk who told anyone who entered the monastery that they should leave their bodies outside. In fact, the Latin version of the Lord's Prayer actually says, give us today our supernatural bread. Now, Bernard Clavoux may have been a wonderful monk, but he got this wrong. Jesus taught us to pray for ordinary bread, because He knows we need it. When Elijah ran for his life at Mount Horeb, he wanted to die, but God sent an angel to him, and what did the angel do? He gave him a piece of bread. He says, eat, you've got more work to do. When Jairus' daughter was restored to life, Jesus said, give her something to eat. At Pentecost, the early Christians could be governed by God's Spirit to such an extent that they were accused of being drunk. Yet they broke bread in their homes and ate together with sincere hearts. Let's keep our feet on the ground in regards to this request and not spiritualize this. Even in our greatest moments on earth, we are still on earth and need to eat. Now, as much as I think that this monk got it wrong, Bernard Clavoux, when he told his students to leave their bodies outside, I sort of sympathize with what he said. Bernard Clavoux loved his Heavenly Father dearly. Dearly. And today, most of us eat really well. But it's not so clear that we love our Heavenly Father dearly. Is it not true that many would rather skip a devotion or a prayer time or a church service than a meal or a party? This request also teaches us modesty. Jesus teaches us to pray for our daily bread. He doesn't teach us to pray for a barnful or a year's supply. Paul in 1 Timothy 6 verse 8 says, if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. It echoes Proverbs 30 verse 8, give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Let's be honest, most of us have that much stuff and so much baggage, it's all wasted luggage really, weighing us down on our road to glory. The sad reality in our Western world is that we enjoy such an overabundance that our Christian pilgrimage and purpose to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever is handicapped by our love of much bread. 1 Timothy 6 verse 6 and 7 says, possessions are no real gain, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Job was right, wasn't he? Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I mean, some people are so keen to get so much bread, speaking here generically now, all sorts of stuff. They haven't got time for anything. Not even to worship the Lord or to serve the Lord. And our overabundance is often the cause for people depending less on God for their daily bread. I dare say, and I'm included, we all have things on our monthly or yearly budgets that are far more than just food and clothing that we need. Many of us have seen that yesterday's luxury becomes today's necessity. And of course there are things that are necessary in this life. Well, let's keep our feet on the ground here. We need to have a car to travel the vast distances that we have in this land. But I sometimes question whether we need to have three or four. We need to have homes to live in. Well, we could question that too, couldn't we? We need to have Christian education and private tuition. People regard that as necessities. I'm not too sure. And as a result of our wanting to get all these things, it usually means that both parents have to work. We have now more tired parents, more childcare centres, more family breakups, and less volunteers to help the poor and needy. See, sometimes we can become confused about what our needs and what our wants. Perhaps next time when we pray, Lord, give us our daily bread, it may cause us to think a little bit deeper. What are we asking for? Now, please, don't think that God is stingy. He's not stingy. In the same passage we quoted from before, in 1 Timothy 6, Paul addresses those who are rich in this present world and tells Timothy to warn them. Brothers and sisters, I dare say that's most of us here. The Bible is often critical of riches and warns us constantly of the dangers of wealth. Let's be honest, it's so easy to place our wealth and our desires before God. The people in Malachi's day did just that, and they ended up robbing God. Generally in Scripture, if God makes a choice between the rich and the poor, the Bible shows him on the side of the poor. Yet the message that God wants us all to be poor is just as unbiblical as the message that God wants us all to be rich. You know, we're very quickly criticizing the health and wealth gospel, and I agree with that. But there are others who think that we have to be poor, and that somehow God is more pleased if we are poor and living a stingy life. That's not true. It's just not true. The reason God wants the rich is that he wants them to depend on him. That's why he warns the rich. He wants them to depend on him. But he also wants the poor to depend on him. See, we cannot be Christians if we lose our childlike dependence on our loving Heavenly Father to provide everything for us. Again, the Bible doesn't teach that a poor person is better than a rich one. It doesn't teach that. But the poorer person is sooner inclined to trust God than the rich person. See, no one can be a Christian unless they are willing to say, I am not my own, but I belong to my faithful Saviour, Jesus Christ. Whether poor or rich. See, and he wants us to trust in our Heavenly Father. He's the one that provides all for life. Every good, he's the only source of every good. It's not our work, or our worry, or even his gifts can do us any good without his blessing. We need help to trust in our Father in heaven to provide all that we need and not to place our trust in creatures and other things. See, our dependence on our loving Father is not just true for a 3 or 4 course meal with a glass of wine. It's also true for the Mac burger and the sandwich from the sandwich bar outside the office. Even the Mac burger and the simple sandwich is a gift from God's fatherly hand, even if you don't like Mac burgers. Sadly, so often we grab a bite here and grab a bite there, and we have a TV dinner there and a TV dinner there. We haven't even got time to thank God for the daily bread that he gives us. Of course, we also need to think a little bit broader about this. We now belong to a family where one has given his life for all. So now all live for the one in serving each other. When the Lord blesses us with our daily bread, he often gives us more than what we need, and then we are obliged to share. The Bible says sharing food and clothes as evidence of faith. It shows that we are Christians, not just in our heart, but also by our deeds. And when someone refuses to share these gifts, then the person's faith is to be questioned, I would suggest. Let us never forget, the Lord Jesus laid down His life for us. The same kind of self-giving love is required of us as His followers. Those who are unwilling to give away material things to people in need present evidence they are strangers to God's love. 1 John 3 verse 17. If any has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? In the Old Testament people were expected to show love to strangers and sojourners, and that hasn't diminished in the New Testament. Nor do we only give away material possessions to those who are found to be worthy of our love, but because God's love is in us. We do it in response to God's love. God didn't love us because we were so lovable. And we talked about that at session meeting the other night. While we were still sinners, while we were His enemies, Christ died for us. That was the greatest act of love. So, love doesn't try to find some loophole for not giving. In fact, the opposite is true. Perhaps one other thing before I close. When we pray sincerely for God's name to be honoured and for His kingdom to come and His will to be done, we do so not with words only, but also with actions. And indeed our very lives. When we pray for our daily bread, we don't just pray with our words, but also with actions and lives. God hates laziness. That's what He hates. Proverbs 10:4. Lazy hands make a man poor, but diligent hands bring wealth. Proverbs 20 verse 4. A sluggard does not plough in season, so at harvest time he looks but finds nothing. Paul told the converted thief in the Ephesian congregation to work. Do something useful with your hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. That's the goal of Christian living. Ephesians 4:28. Let us also remember then that just because we work hard does not mean that we will always have bread. God may choose to feed us with the gifts of others, just as He may feed others with our gifts when He has blessed us with an abundance. So congregation, we pray the prayer, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. But let us remember that it's not our work or worry or even our bread that does us any good. It's God's favour that we are seeking. And His blessing we ask for when we pray, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. And when He does, may we be thankful for His glory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your daily provision for us. We thank You that in this land that there isn't any who need to go hungry or to be without clothes or even shelter for that matter. How blessed we are. But Lord, we are mindful that there are people in this world that do go hungry, that do not have enough clothing or shelter. And so, Father, we pray that when we have opportunity to do so, that we may be generous towards them. Father, we pray too that as we live our daily lives, that we may be generous here too, realizing that everything we have is a gift from Your fatherly hand. Lord, help us not to be greedy. Help us not to be hoarders, but help us to share with those in need. Father, we thank You that we can follow the example of the Lord Jesus Christ, that He, the very bread of life, gave Himself, gave His all, so that we may have life and have it to the full. Father, next week Sunday we hope to celebrate the Lord's Supper, where we can be reminded of Your great love to us in Christ, that He gave His life so that we may have life. And we pray, Father, that in the coming week as we also prepare for that feast, for that supper, that we may appreciate anew what You have done for us in Christ. And Father, if there is anything that would hinder us from attending that supper, that we may be given the humility and the strength to sort it out, so that we indeed may enjoy this feast and celebrate what Christ has done together wholeheartedly. Hear our prayer, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.